back.
Yeah.
Thank you on the Dirty Ugly Wrestling Podcast. My name is Dirty Mike.
And I'm the Big Ugly.
You are. Are you the Fit Ugly? Or are you? I ask you every time. Or are you big?
Listen. I was in the gym earlier today.
Oh, you were in there. Oh, so you're big. So like big, like thick. Yeah, thick ugly. How about that?
Yeah.
All right, man. All right. Episode 127 is on. And well, it was recording. That's what we're doing. This is great. We have so much to talk about. The road to WrestleMania continues. AEW is big business, bloody, all kinds of good stuff. Some people passed away. Some people are still alive. There's a lot going on. But first, this is how we're going to do the hot start, Fit Ugly, to this podcast, to this show. I'm going to say the EWA Rage in the Cage was fantastic. At the Bel Air Armory in the first week of February. As a matter of fact, we had so many people in there, sold so many tickets that we had to shut the door. I mean, we were almost violating fire code. I mean, that's how big it was. It was huge, Fit Ugly.
Huge.
And that means you and CM Funk, who is with us, and JT Wrestling, who was with us. Everybody's got to be there on April 13th because that's the Sweet 16, the annual Sweet 16. There's going to be 16 competitors vying for the Sweet 16 trophy. That is goes without saying. There's matches that are already involved, EWAProWrestling.com, EWA on Facebook. But me, I have another agenda because one of my personalities is Commissioner Mikey D. And now I'm dirty ugly on here, but Commissioner Mikey D is very clean so far. Commissioner of EWA Pro Wrestling. And so I just happen.
You're a suit? You are a suit.
I'm a suit. I'm the authority.
Oh,
it was me, Austin.
No.
Sorry, I went there. No, I didn't. No, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. But we have a special guest joining us on the first part of this podcast, and I wanted to bring him on because I got to witness firsthand in the Games of War match, team versus team, all kinds of steel cage action. This guy actually scored the victory, and I said to myself, Commissioner Mikey D, who's going to face Michael Anthony, who is still the EWA heavyweight champion after Rage in the Cage. And I said, you know what? The guy who went through the most, the guy who got the biggest victory, the guy who went through the most war, the Purple Parrot, Colin Sheen. That's what I said. And he's here on our podcast right now for the first time, Fit Ugly. Colin, welcome. How you doing?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Now, was that you or was that the parrot?
Yes. Yes, is the answer.
Yes, that's the answer.
Yes.
Colin, welcome. Thank you very much for joining us. Not going to take up too much of your time. I know you must be in a lengthy training regimen. We're less than a month away, April 13th, Bel Air Armory. How are you preparing for your championship match?
Oh, Olmec has me running through all of the Temple games. I'm climbing the ropes. I am spinning on the big wheel. I am traversing the pit of despair. I stopped counting now how many times I've put together the silver monkey statue. I am doing all of the things.
You are preparing yourself. That's great.
Yes.
Purple preparing yourself. And I'm sure Team Auto Draft is behind you. Your boys, your team.
100%. They are backing me all the way.
I love it. And, everybody on this podcast is a fan of EWA Pro Wrestling. We've all been there. We've been promoting and talking about EWA Pro Wrestling for almost 8 years on this podcast. And now we're getting into some new generations. You know, there have been things happening. And Michael Anthony has been running over everybody for a year and a half, 2 years. He's got the strap now. And me as Commissioner Mikey D, I've been trying to find a way to not only give him competition, give the audience something really, really remember, something really that they're going to home and say, I got to come back and see this again. But I also want to give him somebody who's going to test him. And I figured, you know what? The Purple Parrot, Colin Sheen, not only does he have, he's got the look, he's got the charisma, but he's also got the victory behind him, Rage of the Cage, but also he's got teammates. He's got friends. Michael Anthony with Hiro Napier and anybody else who's tried to get in, you know what, steel cages and casket matches. No. I need people who have they're back. And I know Auto Draft has your back.
Yeah.
So now you've got help. Now, this is a straight up match.
Mm-hmm.
This is one on one. This is pinfall submission, countouts count, disqualifications count. As far as I understand right now, I'm going to try to do everything I can for you to make it as fair as possible. But how can you, what is your game plan going through the match? Or can you reveal that at this point?
Well, I don't want to reveal a whole lot. It's been a lot of me meditating in the pit of despair and talking, not only strategizing with Team Auto Draft, many of whom a lot of them have had sort of a personal history with Michael Anthony. Siler especially has been a great sort of soundboard because he knows Michael Anthony very well. But, I may, somewhere between now and April 13th, I may sort of reveal some of my main strategic points. I don't want to reveal too much because I'm sure Michael Anthony, who, you know, is glued to a computer screen, he's probably going to hear it, and I don't want him to hear too much.
But, yeah, he's run in on our podcast before. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm sure he's waiting with bated breath. Look at the obvious things. Yes, I am the purple parrot, Colin Sheen, and yes, I can get it done in the ring. What I can't get done is make myself larger in size than Michael Anthony. Mm. That's not going to work. It's not, the power moves are not going to work. So in the absence of that, you know, what does the purple parrot, Colin Sheen, do? Well, he wrestles smarter and not harder.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a little taste, a small flavor of the battle plan, Operation Get Parrot the heavyweight title. That's a little bit. I don't want to reveal too much, but I'm trying to be smart. I'm trying to be smart about it and not just go in just as a meathead.
Fair enough. Well, we got the meathead versus the purple parrot. Well, wait a minute. I didn't say that. He's going
to. I said it. I'll say it.
You said it.
Yeah.
He found me for that. All right. Look, that's definitely April 13th, Bel Air Armory, EWAMaryland.com, EWA on Facebook, EWA on Instagram, EWA on X. It's EWA Maryland all over the place. Now, I want to switch gears. Now, on our podcast, the Dirty Ugly Wrestling Podcast, we like to go back and forth a little bit, break the little kayfabe window, go behind the curtain a little bit, and this is where the Fit Ugly is going to come in because he's got the question that we like to ask everybody. But how did Fred get into the pro wrestling business, and what were your inspirations growing up?
Yeah, well, I was born in 93, so I was a kid. I was a product of the back half of Attitude Era / all of Ruthless Aggression.
Nice.
So I saw a lot of 2000 was really the year I first started watching. And for my money, that's if you look at calendar years in WWE, you can't beat 2000. The Rock was at the top. Austin had just come back. Triple H was at the top. It's just when you combine intense, crazy storytelling with good, a solid in-ring product, you get the year 2000 as far as WWE goes. So I was really hooked into that. It just grew from there. And it's, I've fallen off the wagon and then back on again. It's ebby and flowy, my wrestling fandom. But then I got into acting, theater. I studied theater in college. I studied theater in graduate school. So I already had that performative taste. And then out of college, I started working at the Renaissance Fair here in Maryland. And I encountered a group of folks that are called Renaissance Rumble.
The Rumble, Giuseppe. Gotta love Giuseppe and all those boys.
Yeah, and so those guys were doing, they do Shakespeare-themed wrestling shows at the fair. And then on the side, they were also legit pro wrestlers on the indies. And they were offering an intensive class catered towards actors like myself who wanted to just get a taste of it and see what it was like to get in the ring and develop a character and cut a wrestling promo and take a bump and all this stuff. And it culminates with like an actual show. So I was like, all right, what the heck? So I tried it, loved it. It wasn't like, I took my first bump and I was like, okay, I felt that, but it wasn't as painful as I was expecting. And then, it just grew from there. And they offered the intensive twice, three times a year. And so I would do every single one for as long as I could. And at first it started and the Purple Parrot started on that first intensive. And that was probably, I think, 7 or 8 years ago now. They just said, yeah, come up with a character. And I said, I said to myself, well, besides wrestling, what else am I passionate about? And the answer to that is 90s Nickelodeon. that wasn't a difficult question. And Legends of the Hidden Temple was my favorite show. And the Purple Parrots were my favorite team. Like that was always before I even connected it to wrestling, the Purple Parrot was always kind of like, I would call it my identity. So I was like, well, that's it. I mean, that has to be it. So then all of a sudden, as I started to create the Purple Parrot out of thin air, it evolved into, okay, well, he actually was on the show, which I wish I was truly, but sadly not the case. But he was on the show and lost humiliatingly. Like he lost in like the first round, like the moat crossing or whatever. And then ever since that day, as a child, he has just been a complete loser and hasn't been able to succeed at anything in his life. So then finally, with nothing left to lose, he said, you know what? I'm going to just get in the ring. I have nothing else to lose. So I'm going to get in the ring and train to try and be the best and be the best wrestler so that I can redeem myself. And so that's what he did. And then the first Purple Parrot's first match, he won. And so then he felt like he was vindicated and felt like he was in the right place being in the ring. And so now that's where he's at. And it's been a lot of ups and downs and a lot of falling and getting back up again, but the Purple Parrot has never lost sight of, you know, the initiation of his passion, which was he loved wrestling and also loved his identity as somebody who was passionate about the 90s and about his childhood and about, you know, that youthful energy. And so roll it all up into one and you've got Colin Sheen, which, by the way, Colin comes from, I got the name Colin from Colin Mochrie of Whose Line Is It Anyway fame. He's my favorite. It's one of my favorite shows, and Colin was by far the funniest guy on the show. And then fantastic. Sheen came from Jimmy Neutron, because I was a big Jimmy Neutron fan. So put that, and I felt like he needed to have like an actual name to fall back on besides just Purple Parrot. So you put it all together, Purple Parrot, Colin Sheen, and here he is.
And here he is. That's a great story. Thank you for sharing that all with us. That's fantastic. Our listeners definitely love to hear all the behind the scenes of Fit Ugly. You got your question answered in there. You didn't even have to ask it.
I didn't. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, I'll tell you what, that is great. And I cannot wait to follow up with you after April 13th, but because our next podcast will be after April 13th and after WrestleMania and everything like that. But before that, you know, we've got a road to Sweet 16 now, and then yeah. we've got social media that we can use. We've definitely know that, like you said, Michael Anthony knows what he's doing there. He's all over it. So I look forward to the back and forth. I look forward to mediating it. I look forward to, you know, possibly adding stipulations to a match. You never know. Ooh. Whatever it is. Ooh. I want to give the fans exactly what they want, what they came for, and what they deserve. And I'm going to give you the fairest shake that you can have. As far as the Purple Parrot, Colin Sheen, and I just want to ask one favor from you. If Michael Anthony is listening, which we already determined he probably is,
yes.
What words would you like to leave him with leading up to Sweet 16 as it is right now?
Michael Anthony, I am scared to death of you, and I have no idea how I'm going to beat you. I just know that I am going to beat you. So take from that what you will. Should you be scared of me? Yeah, probably, because you have no idea what I'm capable of. Don't know how it's going to get done, but it's going to get done one way or the other. And by the time I come back onto this show, Dirty Mike, you'll be talking to the next EWA heavyweight champion. Michael Anthony, let's rock. Let's do it.
That's what I like to hear. And that is the Purple Parrot, Colin Sheen. And we are talking about Sweet 16 EWA Pro Wrestling, Saturday, April 13th. Tickets will be available soon. Tickets will also be available at the door. But do not wait on this. Do not get shut out of the building. Make sure you are there. And it's the Bel Air Armory. It's going to be great. EWAMaryland.com, EWA Facebook, Instagram, and X. Colin, Purple, thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate your time. I'll be following up with you, and I'll be happy to tag you in anything that we do here so we can share your words with the world, and especially the champion, Michael Anthony.
Aha! Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, you got it. Take care, buddy.
Take care. Bye-bye.
See, Fit Ugly, that's, you know, EWA Pro Wrestling is something that we've been promoting for a while. And that's it's. I'm glad that Colin Sheen joined us. And that was a pretty good description of himself. We didn't have to lead him down any roads. He did it all by himself.
Yeah, he gave us everything. The future EWA champion. I'm excited to see.
All right. In April 20. Now we're going to get to this. We appreciate CM Funk, as I said, has joined us. And welcome back to the podcast, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, I got a bit of a CM Funk injury at the beginning, and I was out 6 to 12 minutes.
Damn
but
it.
I'm back now. So.
Yeah, because you know, you can't have a podcast without CM. Yeah, I can't make that work like he did. Yeah. and JT Wrestling is back. Welcome, JT.
Good to be back.
All right, man. Love the picture. Always love that picture. I'm wearing the shirt right now, as a matter of fact. all right. So we've got a lot to talk about. Now, are there any tangents that people just want to go off on before we talk about the road to WrestleMania, the Hall of Fame, AEW?
Yeah, man, real quick. Man.
Hey, Fit Ugly already. There we go.
It's just a bit of a tangent, but I'm going to just say, hey, man, I'm really feeling that new Rock entrance.
Ooh.
That thing with the lightning, and you see the silhouette of Rock walking out, you know, before the camera just like focuses on. That joint's hard. That interest is hard right now. That's good.
And you love the fact, and this was pointed out, that the eyes are red now that he's the heel. The Brahma Bull's eyes are red, which is pretty interesting. And also the change in the music, because it started off as the regular rock music that we've heard, and then it morphs into Hollywood rock music, like from way back when he was a Hollywood rock heel. I mean, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And anybody else have a when we're talking about the Rock, anybody else have any Rock comments right now?
I like granite.
What? Say it again.
I like granite.
Granite. Okay. Thank you. That's what I thought you said.
Well, let me ask you guys this, since we're on the topic of the Rock. Everybody saw SmackDown?
Yes.
Okay. What did you guys think about the Rock concert this go around?
Hey, man, I love the Rock when he ever tries to pull off a rock concert. That's all I'll say. But man, he morphed it into being nice to the fans, and then being a dick to Cody, and then bringing the family into it. So I think this is some of the best work that the Rock has ever done, let alone, you know, this run when he's in his 50s. Anybody else? Go ahead.
Go ahead, CM Punk.
Sorry, didn't mean to talk over you there. I was just going to say, I actually, the Rock concert, it was fun and it was funny, but I didn't like it in the scheme of what they're trying to portray leading into WrestleMania. Like, I mean, because he was basically a face.
Yeah, you know? Thank you. That's CM Punk. That's exactly what I'm about to say. Go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, I felt like, you know, him crapping all over Cody, like, took everything out of Cody, you know, like he's supposed to be the good guy and all, and like, and it kind of reversed roles a little bit and all. Just, I don't know, didn't care for it in the overall scheme of things.
Exactly. I felt like, because where were they at? They were in Memphis, right?
Yeah
right. And it was like, listen, I get it, the Rock started there, memories, but to me it's like, man, at this level you just got to commit, right? And it's like, I get that this is probably the farewell tour for Rock, you know what I'm saying, as far as his career goes, but I just need him to be a heel, you know what I'm saying? So I didn't I wasn't feeling the whole, like, you know, half faith, pandering to the crowd, but then, you know, kind of turning heel when he talks about Cody or Seth. Like, yeah, it was a bit too inconsistent.
JT, what do you think?
I don't know if I call it inconsistent. I mean, yeah, he definitely went back and forth being nice and then being just plain mean, but I'm just thinking he's just doing what he normally does. He plays to the crowd no matter if they hate him or like him. He'll say nice things about him or just say like a mean thing in kind of a light way.
That is true. And see, I thought he was setting us up for like what he did with the, what was that? The Utah crowd.
Where he talked good about him and then called him crackheads.
And then, yeah, exactly. And then, exactly. So I thought that's what we were going to get, but he was just actually kind of, you know, nice to the crowd. And I was like, I wish he had just said something mean, but you know, it's okay.
I think personally, The Rock is not a face or a heel right now. He's just playing to the strengths of either the crowd that's in front of him or the story that's coming. Because obviously they have the idea of Cody cutting a really personal and digging deep and pushing boundaries promo on the Monday after the Rock concert, which he did, which was beautiful. So I think that the crowd's going to love or hate whatever they're going to love or hate. I don't know if there's anybody right now who's actually, we got people doing heel things, but I don't know if we actually have a specific heel yet. And I don't think we need one. I think there's so much star power that's going into this, the first match and the first night, the tag team match, and then, you know, other several matches at WrestleMania. I just think when we see The Rock, people are going to love it or they're going to love to hate it. They're going to react to it. And the fact that he's able to twist it and make it relevant, I think it's really cool.
Well, let me ask you guys this real quick on the topic. I read an article that was talking about that The Rock and Cody beef is overshadowing in general Roman Reigns. Do you guys share that sentiment?
Yep.
Yep. Totally.
JT?
I can see where it can be seen as overshadowing.
Yeah. I think that everything.
I've completely like forgotten that Roman Reigns is even involved. Like,
I know.
That's how I feel. Like, it feels like this is Rock versus Cody, not Roman versus Cody. We're not building to Roman versus Cody at this point.
Right. They're building everything for night one, but they're not even building towards the tag match. They're building towards Rock versus Cody. And then Roman and Seth are just kind of there at this point. I do like how Seth was able to play up against Drew during their own segment on Raw this week, which was great. And Cody and Roman are going to have their own segment on Friday on SmackDown, theoretically, with no bloodline and nobody else, no Seth, nothing. We'll see. But yeah, I don't know if, you know, you got to have a main event. You got to have a main story. You got to have a main draw. It's so good that it is overshadowing everything else. And I'm not just talking about the other people involved in the match or the story. I'm talking about everything else. Bayley won the Royal Rumble, and she's not even going to be in a main event match going up against Io Sky. It's going to be somewhere on night one, night two, and it's going to be fine, but I don't know. They got a lot of matches building, and there's some substance to everything, but I just think that we've got now something so strong that it is tending to overshadow, but it's not. I still want to watch it.
Oh,
I'm ready
for sure.
Yeah,
all right. So I got one more question for you guys, and I'm monopolizing this. This is, you guys all watch SmackDown. Was it just me? I don't know if I heard this right. LA Knight comes out, right? So I'm moving on from Raw. LA Knight comes out.
Yeah.
Did they pump in audience noise, like audience cheers? Do you guys remember? Like, it just kind of stuck out for me that it sounded like when he came out and he grabs the mic and he's like, let me talk to you. There was like this huge reaction and then it quieted quickly, right? And I was like, did they just pump in audio for that? Did y'all catch that?
I didn't catch that. I don't think so. I mean, they've got that was a sellout crowd. So, I mean, I know they were probably filtering crowd noise back and forth, but I don't know. I don't think so. I think he's still over.
All right, good.
I disagree with you a little bit. I don't know if they pumped in noise or not, but I felt like the reaction to LA Knight coming out was not what it had been. Like, it felt a little soft compared to what some of the previous, leading up into Royal Rumble and stuff like that, where he was like super red hot.
So. I agree with that. But the reason, and this goes back to what I was saying, that The Rock was just out there for, however long he was out there. So no matter what happens in the rest of the show, it's all going to seem like underplayed. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah, I agree with that, though. LA Knight was a much hotter before The Rock came back. Everybody was much hotter before The Rock came back. The Rock, and now I guess The Rock and Cody have now taken everything over. But I think, I don't know, there's just something that's going to be better. Everybody's getting a little bit of time. LA Knight probably had more time on the mic, more time to develop a story before The Rock came back. The Rock and Cody are taking up a lot of prime real estate on both of those main shows. So we'll see. I agree with you, though. It wasn't as big of a reaction. And I think you could say that about anybody at this point. But yeah, Raw, SmackDown, that's great. Anything else about The Rock before we move on? Do we feel, obviously it's The Rock and Roman versus Cody and Seth on night one. And if The Rock and Roman win, Bloodline rules on the second night. And if The Rock and Roman lose, then Bloodline stays away. Anyway, Rock and Roman don't win this match, the tag team match.
Absolutely not. I mean, I don't think you can introduce Bloodline rules and then not have us see what the hell that is.
Right.
JT, what do you think?
I'm thinking along the same lines. They mentioned it, and it's basically a no holds barred with letting everyone do what they want. But I guess they're gonna do it.
Gotcha. So why don't we finish this line of? But we got about 5 minutes left in this segment. Let's finish this line. Let's go on. Let's assume that Roman Rock win. We've got Bloodline rules. Let's go to night two. Let's start with Seth and Drew. Let's go around the room. Does Seth retain the title or does Drew save WrestleMania and win the title? Fit Ugly, we start with you.
I'm gonna say Seth retains.
How about you, CM Punk?
I'm gonna go with Drew. I think whatever happens night one in the tag team match will make Seth more vulnerable and will help Drew along to actually fulfilling his dream.
Fair enough. JT Wrestling.
I'm going to go with Seth retains.
Okay. And I think we're going to be split down the middle 50-50 because I'm going with Drew. I think it's going to be interesting. I just hope the whole Bloodline storyline doesn't overshadow that, because I hope that gets its due. Now, let's talk about this. Bloodline rules, main event. Roman Reigns defending the Undisputed Universal Heavyweight Championship against Cody Rhodes in the main event of night two, the last match. Let's go back around the room the other way. JT Wrestling, does Cody finish his story or does Roman retain again?
I'm split on that, but I'm kind of thinking that Cody does win, because someone's going to miscue, or like we've kind of been talking about for a while, maybe Rock is just going to turn on Roman and let Cody have the belt.
Okay. Think that anything could happen right there. CM Punk.
I mean, if Cody doesn't win, like at this point, like what's the point of having him there? Anyway, I'm full on Cody at this point.
Okay. Dirty, not dirty. I'm sorry. I'm dirty. How about you? Fit Ugly. Fit Ugly.
Yeah, so we're going to say, Cody has to finish the story. So, yeah, he wins.
Okay. Now, this is where I was telling you the other day, Fit Ugly, that I could go the other way now. I was convinced the same thing, that Cody has to finish the story, or else what have we been doing for the past 2 years? And where do we go from there? But with all of these new elements that have just been added in, and no matter how much they work or wrestle or whatever in the next, you know, 3, 6, 9, 12 months, I think there is a case for Roman retaining, but dissension at the top of the bloodline. Cody gets screwed again. So it's not that Cody, you know, maybe this is the invention of the bloodline rules to be able to have a scapegoat to where Roman can keep it. And eventually maybe there's a different scenario where Cody can win, like say at Madison Square Garden, where his dad held up the title on the first night of the Netflix show in January. So Roman can beat all of these other, you know, title holders for however long they had it, Hulk Hogan and stuff. There's a lot of things that can be done in the next year if they do it. And then Cody's story changes again. But, you know, they're also like CM Punk and what you guys are saying, you can't dragging it out too long. I mean, I don't know how much more we can get out of it, but
listen, this cannot go past April 7th. Okay. Like, that's the conclude. Okay.
I have a feeling that they can open more doors and do more things if they wanted to, but I don't know. I want to see Cody win. I want to see Cody finish that story, but I also want to see where the story goes from there.
I feel like Rock and Roman somehow will, their dissension will start to be teased during the tag match. It'll boil over into the Bloodline Rules one-on-one match. And I don't think Rock costs Roman the title, but I think he somehow affects it that will help Cody win. Because that's the other thing that I don't want to see happen now, is I don't want Rock to be the cause of Cody winning. Like, because then that totally discredits Cody's story as well at this point. You know, Cody's got to win almost clean or overcome all the odds at this point in order for it to really, truly make any kind of sense.
Agreed.
It's all going to happen at WrestleMania. You will hear us again. We'll be right back. And we're back on the... Yes. On the Dirty Ugly Wrestling Podcast. My name is Dirty Mike.
And I'm the Big Ugly.
Once again, this is episode 127 on our way to 128, 129, and so forth and so on. We had a fantastic first segment talking to the Purple Parrot, Colin Sheen, talking about The Rock, talking about all the main events at WrestleMania. Now we're going to talk about some other stuff. We're going to go back onto the road of WrestleMania, but I want to ask CM Punk to start this segment, because on March 3rd, 2024, the retirement of one of the greatest professional wrestlers of all time, one of your personal favorites. Yes. I know. I would love for you to give a brief overview of 40-plus year career, and then a brief overview of that match that we saw, AEW Revolution, Sting and Darby Allin. Hold on, Fit Ugly. I know you have something to say, and against the Young Bucks. But please, CM Punk, take it away.
Man, 40 years. Where do you start? So way back in 1985. No, I won't do that. No, man, look, you know, singer Steve Borden, man. I mean, has there been anybody that has made a career as long as he has and truly still mattered and still had it? You know, you know, the fans always like to chant, you know, you still got it. And by God, that man still had it at 64 years of age or whatever it is that he actually is and stuff, you know, just incredible. You know, bittersweet, him going out. It was neat to watch because it was at the Greensboro Coliseum where some of his biggest memories and biggest moments were. It was fun. It was nostalgia. It was real. It was fun. It was just a good time. Enjoyed the match overall. Got to see Stinger go out on top one last time, which, you know, contrary to the unwritten rule of going out on your back, you know, Sting did not. He got the pinfall, you know, and deservedly so, in my opinion, in this case. So
I agree.
Yeah. If there's anybody that doesn't need to get acquired to that unwritten rule. I think it's him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And by the way, he'll be 65 years old on March 20th. So when we are recording this on, you know, on the 19th. So tomorrow is his birthday. So happy birthday, Steve Sting.
And I don't even think I realized how old Sting was. I think I still thought he was in his late 50s. Wow, 65.
He still acts like he's in his 20s at some point.
I mean, he does not look like a 65-year-old man. So nope,
for real.
You know.
Doesn't work like a 65-year-old professional wrestler either.
No, not at all. Taking unnecessary bumps. Not quite as unnecessary as the bumps his tag team partner takes, but I digress. Still unnecessary, but amazing at the same time.
And Fit Ugly, we will get back to you. But JT Wrestling, I know you saw this too. What did you think of the match? What did you think of the retirement? What did you think?
I enjoyed the match. I mean, I agree with everyone. He looked great. He can still perform. He was just wrestling as Sting, and he did a good job.
He sure did. And his sons came out and dressed in the old school Sting, white and blue and yellow. And then there was another one, red and black wolf pack. It was fantastic. And I tell you what, all the way through the career, NWA, AWA, WCW, finally in the WWE, got to have a WrestleMania moment. Got to be in the WWE Hall of Fame, which is the, you know, Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame. He was in the Impact Hall of Fame. He was there for 10 years. I mean, if AEW has a Hall of Fame, he should go into that too. I mean, he was undefeated in AEW, retired as champion, went out on top. I love Sting. I only had one encounter with him. And that was during the WrestleMania 24 weekend in Orlando, where TNA Impact tapings were happening at Universal Studios, and I got to go backstage. Jeremy Borash actually picked me out of the crowd because I was being loud and obnoxious, and I got to go walk backstage, and I said hello to him, but he was preparing for a match. He was in the zone, so I didn't take that as being a snub or anything like that. But I got to be real close to Sting. That's as close as I ever got. So that's pretty cool. Hey, Fit Ugly.
Yes. Yeah, so
how'd you feel about Sting's tag team partner?
So before I get there, I'm gonna just say real quick that I thought it was also fitting that
Sting retires
outside of WWE. I feel like Sting and Ric Flair are probably maybe the only two wrestlers that have been pretty much created legendary careers apart from needing WWE. Think that you know, that speaks volumes. So that's awesome. But yes, segueing in, because CM Punk kind of got the topic started. Darby Allin, partner. Now, about two or three podcasts ago, I kind of visited this conversation about Darby Allin taking crazy bumps. And I got some pushback from my fellow podcasters. Okay. Got some pushbacks. You know, it was kind of like, let the guys play, right? So I didn't see the match, but I did see the crazy bump that Darby Allin took. I think it was off the ladder onto like some glass or chairs. Am I right? It was.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That's one of the crazy bumps he took in that match.
I mean, after seeing that, do you guys still feel the same, or is he just shaving like years off of his life? Like, at this point, man, it's out of hand. It's getting out of hand.
If it was shatterproof glass, I don't care if it was gimmick chairs. I mean, there's a couple of things that Darby Allin does and that Tony Khan allows him to do that. I mean, risks are taking unnecessarily. He's young, but he's definitely not invincible. But I just think he's got that mindset that Mick Foley had when he was in his early 20s, or, you know, I don't know, but he, you know, Darby Allin could, you know, spend the next couple of years pulling a sock out of his pants and then become Santa Claus and then a comedian and a writer. I don't know. That one was pretty CM Punk. I don't know. That one was pretty unnecessary.
All right. So here's my take. So I totally agree. This one was unnecessary. However, I understand him doing it in the context of the Sting match. Wanted to make the Sting match super special and everything.
Yeah.
Totally, totally get it. My hope is that now that he's out from underneath the Sting tag team, and I hate to say that he's like, you know, he kind of got pigeonholed there, but in a sense he did. I feel like, you know, okay, now let's show the world that you can actually go in the ring and wrestle, and it doesn't have to be all about the death-defying stunts. So that's my hope. Now, however, the irony of all of this is he had a singles match just after the Sting match, like on Dynamite in the last week, and got injured, legitimately injured, and is now going to miss climbing Mount Everest, which he was had been in training to do. And was supposed to be, he was being written off of TV to climb Mount Everest, but apparently he actually suffered a legitimate injury now. So a lot of irony there. Hopefully that will help him realize that, you know what, you got to take it back a little bit, step back just some. You can't constantly be doing this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a unique performer, but there's only so far that can get you. He is very creative. He is very charismatic with character, and he is good in the ring, you know, with the basics. So more can be less, you know, less is more. It's yeah, hopefully he gets better soon and we will see. JT Wrestling, you have an opinion about Darby Allin?
I just basically agree with everyone. I mean, he's really good. He's got a very strong character, and I can see why he does all the stunts, because his whole personality is extreme skateboarder. So yeah, of course he's going to throw himself through a table or do something that looks stupid. it's his gimmick, but it was also him before he got into wrestling. He was skating, so that's.
Let me just tag on to the end of this real quick. Was Jeff Hardy this bad when he was in his prime? Or are we okay with the risks that he took from time to time, like jumping off ladders, putting people through just, you know, tables and stuff? Is it the same or is it different?
I think it's different. I think at the time it was the same, right? Because he was doing things that people hadn't done. I think that when you look at what Jeff Hardy was doing compared to what Darby Allin is doing, Darby is taking it to a whole nother level,
yeah,
to me, of like what's pushing the boundary or like what's dangerous, essentially. That's my thoughts.
Okay. Anybody else?
I think Jeff was unnecessary too. But to thick ugly's point, you know, it was new at the time, you know, or it was different at the time, you know, unlike now.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's not that he's – I don't think you can create – it's hard to create new stuff, especially with so much content that's been out there for so long. But this is – yeah, what Darby Allin does sometimes just borders on the insanity, you know, danger, actual danger. Jeff, you know, has had his share of injuries and he's had his share of bumps and bruises. But I think most of the stuff, especially what he did in the WWE, was calculated, practiced – gimmicked tables, gimmicked floors. You know what I'm saying? He never put himself through that kind of stuff. Now, what about Mick Foley when he was doing thumbtacks and barbed wire and, you know, putting it on? I'm talking about WWE Mick Foley. You know, Japan Mick Foley and ECW Sandman Sabu, that was extreme. There was a reason for that. But, you know, how about Mick Foley? How about a comparison there? Or is there?
I don't think there really is.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, the bump off the Hell in a Cell. All right. That's one thing. But it wasn't like he did that time after time. Because if you really look at some of the bumps he did after that, they weren't anything near what that was at the time. You know? Yeah. So
I think that Mick Foley had been in another company, I think it could have continued along that route. But I think WWE reined him in after that Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. He was more about the character work. I mean, yeah, he took some bumps once in a while that were pretty, you know, sick looking, sick sounding, but it was more about the character work at that point. So hopefully when Darby comes back, he can focus more on that. We will see. Let's jump to another topic. Let's talk about, first of all, let's RIP, rest in peace, Virgil, passed away since the last time we talked. And Ole Anderson also passed away since the last time we talked. So, you know, Virgil, I got to meet him when I was standing in line waiting for the Ultimate Warrior autograph that I got. He was trying to sell me his book from a table across the way, and he was just talking to me. That's what I got out of. But Virgil, for his time and place, you know, he definitely had a place in the business. He does not belong in the Hall of Fame, but he has his place.
Really?
In the business.
You don't feel like Virgil should get Hall of Fame?
Uh-uh.
Okay. Okay.
I can't believe that. You want Ellie Gante in the Hall of Fame, but not Virgil.
Nope.
Really?
Can't do it.
Wow. So, all right, what's the reason you feel like he just didn't, like, what? Because he's a name.
He's a name.
Virgil, people know Virgil.
Right. But there's a lot of names that we all know that haven't been put into the Hall of Fame. We're going to talk about this year's class, by the way. And I don't think that his impact on the business as a character or as a manager or, you know, anything behind the scenes that he might have ever done, I just don't think it was long enough or strong enough to be considered a Hall of Famer. Now, if they prove me wrong one day, I will pay each person on this podcast $50.
Okay. Okay. Wait. Oh. Okay. You want to talk about that. All right. Yet look at the people that are going in this year into the Hall of Fame. So
yeah, there's the perfect segue.
All right. I'm just starting that off and all. So like to me, this year's Hall of Fame class outside of Paul Heyman, is what it
weak.
Is.
Pretty
yeah.
weak.
Yeah.
I will agree, and this is what I said. I've said it to you guys on text, and then you guys can agree with me or not. Mike Rotunda, I absolutely believe should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't believe
IRS is in the Hall of Fame, so he's already in.
Are you serious?
I'm pretty positive Irwin R. Scheister is in the Hall of Fame.
I don't think so. Let me go to the Google machine while we talk about that.
I'll Google. You continue to hurt.
I'm pretty sure that if he was, I would have. I've loved it. Maybe I'm wrong. If I am wrong.
No, yeah, he is in.
Did he?
Yeah, he's in. Yeah, he is in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, I just looked it up on Google.
When did he get inducted in the Hall of Fame? I know he's made it. Appearances.
Nope. It's saying he's inducted in for April 2024. Never mind.
Okay. Yeah, I was about to say.
He's
but anyway.
In the George Tragos Luthez Professional Wrestling Hall.
Okay.
I take it back. I apologize. I thought he was in.
Shake it off. It's okay. Pay me $50 and we'll be all right.
No, you can take the pay on. We never say anything about paying you. So
No. Everybody has a price. That's all right. No, I don't believe he has had an impact. I love rest in peace. I think he had an impact enough to be talked about in hopefully a positive light. Now, you know, WWE did a little. They didn't really even do a tribute to him. They just kind of put up a bumper before or after a commercial, and that was it. Ole Anderson got a little bit of a tribute though, you know, being one of the Andersons, one of the Horsemen, things like that. But as far as this year's Hall of Fame, which you just segued us into, which I appreciate. I got to go back. So it's Paul Heyman, which he headlines the class. It's a Philadelphia WrestleMania. 100% that is great. And he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame for 100 different reasons. So we don't need to go over that. Bull Nakano. The only reason I know this name is because, and the Purple Parrot would probably agree with this, watching 90s WWE, watching the cartoon era, Bull Nakano was in there. And Bull Nakano was also part of a lot of those Japanese women's death matches that ICP did voiceovers for. But I didn't realize how deep, you know, she was a promoter and, you know, all this other stuff. But does she belong in the WWE Hall of Fame before other people? I don't know. I really don't think so. I think other women in the business, past, present, whatever, deserve a shot to be in there. Bull Nakano, good for her, but not sure where that one came from. U.S. Express, we were just talking about this. IRS, Mike Rotunda, absolutely deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Barry Windham's already in there because he's in there with the Horsemen, right?
Yes.
Okay. And Barry Windham on his own, I can make a case 50-50 either way. Maybe, maybe not. But as the Horseman, I'm okay. He's in the Hall of Fame. Great. He doesn't need to be a two-time Hall of Famer. So the U.S. Express, there's tons of other tag teams that could be associated with that. And from any era, from any company. Okay. Muhammad Ali, the posthumous, going into the celebrity wing of the Hall of Fame. I love Muhammad Ali. I love the story. It's in Philadelphia. He's a boxer. I understand where this is coming from, but he had Antonio Inoki. He had, you know, a couple of two wrestling promotable things. He was part of WrestleMania I. Okay, fine. But are there other people posthumously that could go into the celebrity wing of the WWE Hall of Fame or alive? Yes. But also, I'll make a 50-50 case for Muhammad Ali. What's the other one? Thunderbolt Patterson?
Yep.
Who the fuck? Pardon my language. I just used it so at SoundCloud. Before I heard about him or read because of the Hall of Fame induction, had no idea who he is. So, you know, God bless him for whatever he did in the 50s or 60s. But, dude, where are they getting these people for this class? CM Funk, I'm going to go right back to you since you brought it up. What do you think about this?
A lot of these feel like they should just be legacy members, actual, you know, standing on the stage talking to a crowd member.
Right.
Like I said, Paul Heyman is the only person announced at this point that absolutely 100% deserving. Mike Rotunda should be in there as IRS, not part of the U.S. Express. All right.
Or just by himself.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, Scott Hall's not in the Hall of Fame as Scott Hall. He's in as Razor Ramon and part of the NWO.
Correct.
So, all right, Mike Rotunda, he's most famous as IRS. He should be in.
Also Bray Wyatt's father, which is going to come into our next part of the conversation.
Right. And Virgil should be in.
Damn it.
Saying it one more time.
Virgil damn it.
It would seem like from a class like this that it's almost like WWE is running out of people to put in, but I have a list pulled up here. I mean, these are people that I don't think still aren't in here. Bam Bam Bigelow.
Oh, he's not in yet? Oh, he should absolutely be
in. Batista, Big Show. Yep. And I know some of these guys are with, you know, AEW. Brian Pillman, Jim Cornette, Chris Jericho. Jim Cornette's in? I don't know why it's on here. All right.
Jericho, yes.
Dean Malenko, is he in?
Nope.
Okay. Fit Finley?
Nope. Should be.
Okay, we got Goldust.
Yep.
Haku.
He should be.
We got obviously John Cena.
Yeah.
We have Randy Ken Shamrock.
Orton. Who's that?
Ken Shamrock.
More than the people that are involved this year. Yeah, I'll say
That's what I'm saying. If you think about who's in this year and compared to some of the guys that are being skipped over, Lex Luger.
Yes. For God's sake.
The Nation of Domination.
Yeah. Lillian Garcia.
Demolition.
Demolition.
What about Raven? I mean.
Yes.
You
especially
know.
Especially in an ECW town.
McMahon.
That'll never happen, but yeah. Stephanie, Linda, all of them.
Psycho Sid, Taz. Yeah.
Sid, I want, but Sid buries himself on social media. He'll never get in.
The same thing with Rock is on his farewell tour.
Yeah, but Rock deserves to go in. I think somebody like Al Snow deserves to go in, but he'll never go in. You know what I mean? These are names. Hundreds of names.
Yeah.
Yeah. This class, I don't know if – and there could be one more name on there. I think they were they're talking about The Rock's grandmother possibly going in as well as the last. But obviously, she's posthumous too, so it's going to be, you know, probably Rock's mom.
She's alive.
The grandmother?
I'm pretty sure Leah Maivia is still alive. I think that's why they were talking about trying to get her in. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I got that one wrong, too.
Rock's grandmother still alive?
Okay. Was the wife of Samoa.
I know his mother's still alive.
Yeah. Mom's still alive. Oh, she passed away 2008.
Oh.
Christian still needs to go in, right?
Christian needs to be in the W. Yes. Yes. JT Wrestling.
They could just induct half of AEW into the WWE.
They could. I mean,
Big Show. Yep.
Big Show for damn sure. JT Wrestling, what do you think about the Hall of Fame class so far?
I pretty much agree. It's kind of weak, other than Paul Heyman, because
yeah,
much like you said, the guy who's being inducted from the early 50s, late 60s.
Thunderbolt okay, Patterson, good. Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Isn't it? It's, I don't know, man.
Because, I mean, here's the thing, right? At the end of the day, the Hall of Fame, yes, you do have to honor people that paved the way, but it's still an entertainment show, right?
And right.
It still needs to be relevant to most of the people. I mean, most of the people were not, that are currently consuming the product, were not watching wrestling in the 60s. And you know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. So going back to these like legacy characters, like CM Punk said, I can't make sense of it.
I can't either. I unless it's just trying to keep the shine on Paul Heyman to make sure that there's nobody upstaging him. I mean, I don't know. But this is also the first class that's not being picked at all by Vince.
Sure.
Well, and you know, the last couple of years, especially last year, you know, like they've limited the amount of time that the Hall of Fame is.
Right.
So what easier way to limit the Hall of Fame time than have a bunch of people nobody's ever heard of, you know, or,
right.
You know, come and talk for 5 minutes and boom, in and out, you know.
And they'll give Heyman an hour. They should, right, anyway.
They could give him extended time, definitely. So
I'm all right with that, because that, honestly, the amount of people watching on Peacock that night, it's not going to be that high. And the amount of people that are going to actually stay in the arena after SmackDown is done filming, I don't know, man. But for Paul Heyman,
well, maybe I imagine they'll stay. I imagine there'll be at least three or four people that'll probably stick around for it. So. But oh, anyway.
It'll be a couple.
Okay. All right.
Well, Paul, I'm glad about Paul Heyman. I mean, regardless, everybody else is just, it is what it is. And I'm happy for Mike Rotunda. Now let's segue now into something that we just found out. If y'all watched Monday Night Raw recently, they announced a new Peacock documentary on WWE starting April 1st. And that's going to be all about Bray Wyatt. And it's going to be narrated by The Undertaker. And one of the main people in that documentary is Bo Dallas, which is another brother. Yeah. What do we think of this? Is this timing? Does this mean anything at all? But you know, Bray Wyatt may or may not go into the Hall of Fame as a legacy or posthumous. Or are they doing this?
Bray Wyatt is definitely going to the Hall of Fame.
Maybe just not this year.
No, not this year. But I feel like I strongly am confident he had a Hall of Fame career in this in the past 10 years that he's been, you know, on the main roster.
Yeah. Anybody disagree with that?
No.
JT?
Not at all. Gotcha. He had a great career.
Is the timing now, because a lot of people were thinking that he might be inducted into the Hall of Fame this year, is this sort of a compromise to put this out as they were putting it together and put it out now and put it out the week of WrestleMania and promote it during the week of WrestleMania? Is that just giving Bray Wyatt one more WrestleMania run?
I think the Hall of Fame thing, you know, I think that's just conjecture by the, you know, wrestling fans,
yeah,
you know, because that's what we do.
That is what we do.
Right. You know, we're not right or wrong, you know, but
yeah,
whatever.
We're just fans. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So,
good tackle.
But as far as the timing of it goes, I mean, everything comes out around WrestleMania. Look at A&E. They've got their Rivals and Biography, shows are on. And then right after WrestleMania, the Most Wanted Treasures or whatever show.
Oh, sure.
Out.
Yeah.
So I think that it's more of just timing, because it is WrestleMania and the most eyes are on the product at this time of the year. So
I feel you. Well, yeah. That's good for Bray Wyatt then, because I mean, it's good for the family and it's good for the character, because it deserves that, those eyes on it and the most amount of eyes on it at that particular time. So that's nice, because obviously if he was with us today, he would be involved in WrestleMania somehow.
Yep.
But so that's I'm looking forward to watching it, but it's going to be hard. It's going to be emotional. But I know it's going to be really well done. So it'll be a good way to lead into WrestleMania week. I think it probably comes out as soon as Raw goes off the air on that Monday. By the way, The Rock is supposed to be on Raw that Monday before WrestleMania. So they keep pushing these people back and forth. CM Punk is supposed to be on Raw next Monday, actually, back in Chicago. They said they couldn't have a Philadelphia WrestleMania without PHIL. How about that? See, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with that, because I know Punk was supposed to be a really big part of this WrestleMania, but obviously that can't happen exactly the way we all want it. But now that we've before we go into the WrestleMania card as it is right now, the rest of the matches, does anybody else have any other tangents they would like to jump into real quick?
I like corned beef and cabbage, you know, and St. Patrick's Day was good for that this year.
Happy St. Patrick's Day posthumously. Wait, that doesn't make sense. With St. Patrick's Day was before we were recording this. So yeah, happy that and happy 316 day as well.
Yeah, there you go.
How about that?
That was it.
Never had corned beef and cabbage.
Can't
delicious. Do it. I never had it. Maybe it's good.
Oh, it's good. It is.
I believe you.
Oh, it's true.
It's damn true.
It's damn true.
I've had green beer, but I haven't had But anyway,
okay. Moving, yeah,
shake it off. That's a tangent. Moving on.
It was. Yeah.
All right. The WrestleMania card as we know it right now. We have talked about. We know on night one the Bloodline, Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins. If the Bloodline wins, Bloodline rules on night two, and if the Bloodline loses, then no Bloodline on night two. So we will see. We also talked about Seth freaking Rollins defending the World Heavyweight Championship against Drew McIntyre. That will be on night two, as well as Roman Reigns defending the Undisputed Universal Heavyweight Championship against Cody Rhodes on the end of night two. So it'll be a lot of firsts. Roman and Cody are going to main event both nights of WrestleMania, which is interesting. Okay, moving on. Io Sky versus Bayley. Io Sky is a champion. Bayley won the Women's Royal Rumble. Let's go around the room. Bayley, the entire, damage control has turned. And Bayley's only friend right now seems to be Naomi. Bianca Belair is sort of tweening right now. Does Io Sky retain or does Bayley win? Let's start with JT Wrestling.
All right. I'm going to say Bayley wins.
Aha. Bayley is the new champion. I like the way you're thinking. Go ahead.
Just to keep damage control as total heels, and something's going to happen where they jump her later on the next Monday night or SmackDown, depending.
Fair enough. And I'm going to second that. I think Bayley wins the title. CM Punk?
Yeah, I'm kind of split on this. Like, my heart is with Bayley, but I could see where Io Sky could win. I think either way, it the damage control Bayley storyline continues for a while. So,
fair enough. Fit Ugly?
I don't give a damn.
What? Wow. All right.
But I would just go with Bayley.
And I'll throw this out there too. Does anybody think that we will get a retro throwback hugger, big Bayley buddies, bright colors, different music? Does anybody think we'll get that, or do we get, you know, damage control Bayley?
I could see maybe like an amalgamation of the two, like, yeah, you know, kind of like the new Rock stuff, you know. So
fair, okay, very good. Let's go to the other women's match. Rhea Ripley defending the Women's World Championship against Becky Lynch, who has busted her ass in the past several weeks, and where Rhea Ripley has done very little. Let's go back around the room, start with Fit Ugly. Does Rhea retain or does Becky Lynch win?
I'm going to say Rhea retains. I don't think her run is done yet.
All right. CM Funk?
Yeah, you know, it's my two favorite women's wrestlers, so I'm kind of torn on this one as well. I actually kind of am leaning towards Rhea as well on this one. My problem is I just don't know who dethrones Rhea down the road. So, you know, so I don't know, but I'll go with Rhea. I'm going to stick with that.
I will stick with Rhea as well. I don't think Becky needs it. I think that Becky's character, by losing, can go off in different tangents and Rhea can go on. What do you think, JT?
I agree. I think Rhea's going to win.
Across the board, Rhea Ripley, 100%. All right. Let's go to the Intercontinental Championship, which could be more interesting than we think. You never know. Gunther, longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time, defending against Sami Zayn. Sami's always a reliable worker. He always puts on a great story. Him and Gunther one-on-one on the main stage can put on a fantastic match. I just do not see Sami winning the match. I say Gunther. CM Punk.
Chad Gable.
How does he get involved?
I don't know, but that's just where my heart is.
I still want him to be involved somewhere. Gotcha. Yeah. JT Wrestling.
I'm going to just root for Sami just because I liked him all through his heel stage and now he's sort of back to face. So I'm going with Sami.
Going for Sami. All right.
I am going Gunther.
Gunther. All right. So we've got two for Gunther, one for Sami Zayn, and one for Chad Gable. I like it.
Yeah.
I'm going to also throw Brock Lesnar's name in there because I don't think he's done yet. I think that maybe it can't happen this year, but maybe if the stars align, it could happen next year, where WrestleMania is likely to be in Minneapolis, which is one of the hometowns of Brock Lesnar. So, and also where he went to college and all this other stuff. So we will see. We've got the 6-pack ladder match for the Undisputed Tag Team Championship. So far, Finn Balor and Damian Priest are defending against DIY, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. By the way, the match they had with the Creeds, holy shit, that was a great match. If you did not see this on Monday Night Raw from March 18th, please go back and watch it. That match was fucking fantastic. Pardon my language. Did anybody see that?
Yes.
I did not.
You should. Did you like it, CM Punk?
It was good. I'll be honest. Both teams are not my cup of tea right now. So I had trouble kind of staying focused on it, though. But fair. It was a good match, yeah.
JT, did you see that?
I saw it. It was definitely not exactly what wrestling is today, but it was good.
It was an old school NXT match, honestly, is what it was, which is why I liked it. But kind of didn't fit in today's world. I know what you're saying. I feel you. Gargano and Ciampa are in. The Awesome Truth is in, which, by the way, I love the way they won it. R-Truth got knocked out and laid on top of one of the other – I can't remember the name of that team, Jinder Mahal's team. That was great. I love the Miz and Truth. I'm glad that they're in a WrestleMania match where R-Truth is afraid of ladders. And the New Day obviously won their match against Otis and Tozawa. Interesting. And we've got two more teams from SmackDown to come on. Unfortunately, one of them is not Pretty Deadly. I understand. I got it. Does Judgment Day walk away with this, or do we see new champions? Anybody?
New champions.
Okay.
Awesome Truth.
All right. JT.
I just want to say new champions. I'm not sure who yet.
I'd love to see the Awesome Truth win, by the way. But yeah, I agree with you. 3-minute warning here. Not the team. LA Knight versus AJ Styles, which it has potential if they let them do what they want to do. I would hope LA Knight would win. AJ Styles has no reason to win this match. Anybody else?
Yeah, LA Knight.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Logan Paul defending the United States title against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. There's a nice little triangle thing happening here, but I don't think there's no reason for either one of them to win it. Logan Paul retains. Anybody?
Logan
yeah.
Paul.
Yeah.
And Logan we got, hopefully we don't have the Prime sticker in the middle of the ring for the entire event just for that match, but we'll see. And then brother versus brother, Jimmy and Jay. I'm intrigued. This is if it starts with a collar and elbow tie up, I'm leaving. But this is so personal. But I'm glad they get to do what they get to do. They main evented last year as a tag team, and now they get to fight each other. Honestly, I think Jimmy wins.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm gonna go with Jimmy. Jey Uso's so over with the fans. He doesn't need to win. This isn't for a title or anything. So I think it just gives Jimmy more stake in the bloodline, whatever the bloodline ends up being after the WrestleMania. Anybody else?
Solo
gets involved. I think Solo is going to end up having something to do with John Cena at this WrestleMania. I don't know why. But anyway, anybody else?
I'm saying Jay.
Jay? JT?
I'm going to go with Jay.
All right. Well, that's what we've got for now. We've got a couple more weeks on the road to WrestleMania. We got less than 1 minute left. I want to thank you, CM Funk, for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Of course. Always a pleasure.
JT Wrestling, thank you as always for being our shirt benefactor and for coming on our podcast. We really appreciate you.
Appreciate being invited.
Absolutely. And Fit Ugly, partner. 127. We're going to have something special coming for our next podcast in April. We're going to talk to you boys about that offline. But we want to appreciate everybody listening to the Dirty Ugly Wrestling Podcast on SoundCloud and everywhere else. We are not right. We are not wrong. We are just fans. Enjoy WrestleMania. We will be back in April with episode 128. Thank you all. 3, 2, 1.
Deuces.